Today on Real Radio.
As we approach resurrection season, Time Magazine, Newsweek, you name them, what are they going to have on the front page? Who was Jesus? Or they'll have something like, was he real? Or did he really rise from the dead? And you'll have the theories from the professor of religion at Harvard. Ooh, he must be like someone big. He must know something. And then he'll go on to spiritualize and make some sort of analogy and apology of what Christians believe. What they really believe is Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. He was, in fact, in a coma and came out of it. And the cool tomb resurrected his senses and he came out. You'll read about it. I've read about it for years. I'm tired of reading about it.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John, chapter 11. We've been in a sub-series called Jesus is the Resurrection and the Life, taken from verses 45 through 57 of chapter 11. Of course, the Judeo-Christian world and life view is that it is appointed unto man once to die, then after this, the judgment. As well, whether you're a believer or not, you will be resurrected before the final judgment. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs, continuing in our series called Jesus is the Resurrection and the Life.
Friends, listen, even in the life of non-believers, God is at work for you and for myself. Did you know that? Isn't that good to know? And you have to work for an unbelieving boss or company. Say, oh man, what'd you have to remind me on a Sunday for? I'll be there tomorrow. You know, I want to don't put that off. You know, hey, listen, you know what? You're there to be a light and shining armor. And that unbelieving boss or those people in that unbelieving company, they need you. Do they know it? Nope. Do they say bad things about you? You bet they do. Well, I've never heard them. That's because your back was turned. They don't like you. See, they do like me. Go there tomorrow and say, Jesus died on the cross for all of us because we're all a bunch of wretched sinners. He died on the cross for us. You know what? They'll go, they don't like you anymore. Because the power of God divides people, yes. The power of God is something people cannot hide behind. The power of God is in control. Even those non-believers, they don't like you, but they need you. They didn't even know that. When you pray for them, oh, Lord, you know, bless Johnny and cause him to see the light and cause your goodness to... They don't even know you're praying for them. In fact, if you tell them you're praying for them, they often get offended because that makes them feel or think weak. What, you don't need to pray for me. I'm fine. When someone says, I'm fine, you just kind of go... No, I'm not kidding. But you say, no, I pray for you. I pray that you'll hear God's voice. I pray that God will bless your life. You've been praying that for me? Yeah. The world needs us. God will honor them. Why? Because they interact with you. You want to have a blessed, if you're a business owner or a boss, believer or not, you want to be blessed. Hire good, faithful Christians to work for you. God will bless the company because he's going to feed their mouths through your company. That's kind of a Jacob thing. You know, Jacob was always thinking. I think of a non-believer hired Christians. He might see his company be blessed, and in the meantime, all those Christians are praying for him. He could get saved. The power of God, the glory of God. Thirdly, verses 53 to 57, the resurrection is the truth of God. Verse 53 says, then from that day on, they plotted to put him, that is Jesus, to death. Hard to believe. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim. And there he remained with his disciples, and the Passover of the Jews was drawing near, and many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. And then they sought Jesus and spoke among themselves when they stood in the temple, saying, "What do you think? That he will not come to the feast?" Now, both the chief priest and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it, that they might seize him. This is Jesus' last week, or we're entering, I should say, upon the last week of Jesus' life. He's not even welcome in his own city that hosts the Temple Mount, that Orthodox Jews today will tell you in Israel, the reason why the Temple Mount is originally holy to the Jew is because they believe from that point God spoke the universe into existence, that the material, and it's kind of neat physics if you think about it. When God spoke the material universe into creation, where was he standing when material creation happened? And the Jews will tell you, on the Temple Mount. And it's very wonderful to think. Isn't it interesting, kind of keeping that in your head a little bit, that all of the languages of the world from one side on the compass right toward Jerusalem from right to left, and the other side of Jerusalem right from left to right. The focal point of the universe, the Jews will tell you, is the Temple Mount, where God created it all. The last week on earth, Jesus is coming and being prepared to come into the city that he himself in creation had made. Very quickly, we'll just touch on these things here under this third point, that the resurrection is the truth of God. Listen, jot it down. And that is this: the life of Jesus Christ is an offense. It's an offense to people. It would be better for a lot of people if they could go to Jerusalem and find a dead body. As we approach resurrection season, Time Magazine, Newsweek, you name them, what are they going to have on the front page? Who was Jesus? Or they'll have something like, was he real? Or did he really rise from the dead? And you'll have the theories from the professor of religion at Harvard. Ooh, he must be like someone big. He must have a PhD and a doctorate and a this and a that. He must know something. And then he'll go on to spiritualize and make some sort of analogy and apology of what Christians believe. What they really believe is Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. He was in fact in a coma and came out of it, and the cool tomb resurrected his senses and he came out. You'll read about it. I've read about it for years. I'm tired of reading about it. You'll hear these so-called people who go against the word of God. And in a way, I kind of love it, because what they're saying proves what the scripture says in the last days will happen. That their very testimony is a word against them, that mockers and scoffers will come in the last day, denying the only Lord who bought them. Amazing. The resurrection is the truth of God. Jesus Christ, his life is an offense. Secondly, the death of Jesus Christ is an offense. It's an offense. Because when people say, why did Jesus die? You have to answer the question. The Bible says he died for our sins. That doesn't make you feel good until you hear the whole rest of the story. That God loved you so much, Jesus died for you and I. And then thirdly, under this point, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was and is an offense. To this very day, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is an offense. Because he's not there, as we've been saying. I love the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 30, one of the great Bibles, and certainly one of the our Bible verses, and certainly one of the shorter ones in all the Bible, says it beautifully. Acts 13, 30 says, God raised him from the dead. You could almost hear Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, say, and God raised him from the dead. Next verse, deal with it. It's a fact. All right, before we wrap this up, let's answer some questions the best we can. The most asked questions about resurrection and all the stuff that surrounds it. Questions like this: what will we look like and be like in the resurrection? That's a great question. Well, what will we look like? And a lot of scholars talk about this. Norman Geisler has some very interesting views about when the resurrected body takes place. There are various views. What are we going to look like? We don't know exactly for sure. The Bible does tell us, though, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 41 to 46, that we will have a body that's equipped. Listen, it is a body that is a both body, spirit body, equipped for the eternal realm. Paul addresses that in 1 Corinthians 15. It's kind of neat because, he talks about sowing seeds. And he says, the seeds you plant are not the seeds that come up. So what? No, you throw a seed into the ground, and technically the seed dies when it hits the ground. The seed dies, and when it dies, it shoots out a little spur of life. From death comes life. That little thing begins to grow. It breaks the surface of the earth, and it moves its way upward heavenly. Listen, that's very, very excellent, because Paul says that's how the resurrected body will be. When we die, our body's put into the ground. I said our body, not your thinking and your emotions and your spirit or your soul. Your body's in the ground. Listen, when we buried Grandma, we put her in the ground. Her body's in the ground. Where is her body today? In the ground. What is her body waiting for? Resurrection. Where's Grandma? In heaven. She trusted in Jesus. She's in heaven. So what will our bodies look like when the resurrection comes? The Bible tells us in 1 John 3, verse 2, 1 John 3, 2, beloved, now we are the children of God, John says, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be like, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now that means you need to study the body that Jesus had when he rose from the dead. And this is fun. Because the body that Jesus had, we know this, in John chapter 20, verse 19, and John chapter 20, verse 26, that Jesus had a body that had no limitations regarding the physical realm, this world that you and I live in, even though you could touch him. When he rose again from the dead, listen to what it says in John 20, verse 19. Then that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples assembled together for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be to you." The doors were shut. Jesus shows up. John 20, verse 26. And after 8 days, his disciples were again together inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace." Isn't that funny? Every time he shows up, he's got to go, "Peace." They probably, whoa. The doors were shut, and Jesus just shows up. He doesn't come through the door. He's just there. And that great, wonderful declaration in John 20. Thomas just goes, Thomas is overwhelmed. And Jesus says, "Thomas, touch me, handle me, and see." What does he say? "For a ghost does not have flesh and bone like you see me have." And then Jesus vanishes from the midst of them. Then you see Jesus on the shore. Peter and the guys, they're in the boat. Jesus is on the shore in the morning, and he's cooking up fish on the shore. And he calls out to them, "Come and eat with me." Isn't that something? We're going to have a body just like Jesus. We're going to be able to not be limited by the travel restraints that we have now. Isn't that great? As he is, we'll be like him. That's awesome. When you're resurrected, what were you thinking you're going to have? A body with a lot of training wheels on it? It's going to be a glorified body, ready for heaven, ready for God's spirit world. It's going to be fantastic. You can touch, but you can go through the limitations of this world. You can eat. That's good news. You can eat. And the Bible in heaven, people are eating. Isn't that tremendous? What are we going to be like? What will we look like? We don't know exactly what we're going to look like, but it's obvious from Scripture that when Moses and Elijah appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter recognized them. I don't know how he recognized them. He'd never seen them. They don't have a picture of Moses in Jerusalem. That would have been impossible. How do you know that? I think God must have revealed it to him. But Jesus knew who they were. They knew who one another was. They knew who Jesus was. Our appearance, what are we going to look like? We're not exactly sure, but you're not going to be disappointed. Does that mean God's going to make me beautiful in heaven? I don't know. You're not going to be disappointed, though. Harry Ironside, the great preacher of yesteryear, this woman came up to him and asked him this question. She said, "Dr. Ironside, will I know my husband in heaven?" And he says, "Well, it depends. You want to know him in heaven?" And he said, "Ma'am, why will you be more stupid in heaven than you are here now?" That was his response. Why would you be more stupid in heaven? He went on to answer the question by saying in the next breath, "Ma'am, if you know your husband now, you'll know him there. If you know friends who are saved now, you're going to know them there. You're going to know one another. By the way, a little bit of comfort. You're not going to be crying up there about who didn't get in. You'll have no remembrance of them. In essence, they were never born, were they? They were never born again, were they? You won't be walking around saying, 'Oh, I wish my husband would have made it. I don't see him here. I've looked high and low.' You won't even think that thought. It won't even be in your mind." That's a comfort. People have often asked, what will the actual resurrection be like? All we can say according to the Bible, from Old and New Testament alike, is that it will be instantaneous. Just like Jesus called Lazarus forth. "Lazarus, come forth!" Instantly. How are the dead raised? Easy answer there. The Bible says by the power of God. Who are the dead that are raised? Now that's a great question. Who are the dead? There's only one group of people who will ever escape resurrection, and that is the church that is alive at the time of the rapture. They will never taste physical death. Wouldn't it be nice if that happened today? We would never taste physical death. There's only one group that will not see resurrection. They will go through what the Greek word is, metamorpho. A miraculous, instantaneous, Paul says in Corinthians 15, in the twinkling of an eye, 1/18,000th of a second. That person, hopefully us, will be walking down the street and we're changed. The Bible says, for we shall not all sleep or see the grave. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. That's a great sign over the children's ministry. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Did you get that? It's a little early. I've been up a long time. We'll be changed. We won't see death. So listen, very quickly, jot these things down. Did you know the Bible teaches that there are numerous resurrections? Numerous resurrections. Jot them down and I'll give them in chronological order. The first one, listen carefully. The first one deals with the one who is the first fruits from the dead. Anybody know who that is? Jesus. Jesus is number one resurrection. The first resurrection, number one resurrection, is the one of the first fruits. The scripture says, Jesus Christ. You say, wait a minute, Lazarus rose from the dead first. What about the little girl? No, they had to die again. That's a drag. They had to die again. Jesus is the first fruits from the dead. When Jesus rose again from the dead, he was glorified. That had never happened before. He had a brand new body. Interestingly enough, in the book of Luke, chapter 24, it tells us that his body had the scars on his hands from the crucifixion. And Zechariah tells us that when Jesus comes back in the second coming to earth, that Israel will look upon him and say, "Where did you receive these holes in your hands and feet?" Wow. It seems as though Jesus for all eternity will look as though he is a lamb that had been slain. He'll bear the scars forever. The scars of purchase. Jesus, the first fruits from the dead, the Bible calls him. He's the first one. Number one resurrection, Jesus Christ. Number two is what is referred to, understood as the token resurrection. You can research this later. You're going to want it. You're going to write this down because you've never read it. You're going to think it's not in the Bible. Matthew 27, verses 46 to 53. Go read it later. I'll paraphrase it to you. Referred to as the token resurrections, it is this, that when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says the ground shook, rocks broke open, and the graves opened up, and many of those who believed in God came out of their tombs and walked into Jerusalem. Hello! That had to be awesome. And it said not only that, but after his resurrection as well. Can you imagine? Can you imagine some little kid coming home? Mom, I could have swore I saw Grandpa today. The Bible says some over 500 people saw these dead people, or now, well, alive people, go into the city of Jerusalem while Jesus had paid the price on the cross at his death and at resurrection. Isn't that amazing? Read it, Matthew chapter 27. The third resurrection to take place hasn't happened yet. These others have. The third one hasn't. That's in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 14 to 18, and that is the rapture of the church. The Bible says that the dead in Christ, they'll rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air and meet them in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. Remember Grandma we talked about earlier, who's in heaven, but her body's here at Forest Lawn? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when Jesus comes back, he's bringing Grandma with him. You and I are walking around. Grandma's body's in the ground. There's going to be a trumpet blast, the voice of the archangel. God's going to give a shout, and the dead in Christ will rise. That is, their bodies will rise, and they will meet their spirit in the air. We, the Bible says, will follow them. We will not precede them. They'll precede us, and we'll meet them in the air. And the Bible says in John chapter 14, verses 1, 2, and 3, that we will go with the Lord Jesus and those to that place that Jesus has been preparing for us for a long, long time now, right? Almost 2,000 years. He says, I go to my Father's house, for in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go now to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. I will not leave you. He's going to come and get us, the church. Number four is during the tribulation period. The Bible says in Revelation 11, verses 7 and 8, that the two witnesses that God will send to the earth will give testimony to the power and to the doctrines of God, and in Jerusalem they will be killed. The Bible says they'll lie dead in the streets for 3 days. And the world, by the way, it must be on satellite TV if you read the Bible carefully, it says the world will celebrate their death and send gifts to each other. And 3 days later, the Bible says these two witnesses will rise from the dead, and God will take them back into heaven. The resurrection of the two witnesses in Revelation 11. Number five and six are somewhat together. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 and 3, and Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 and 5, speak about the resurrection of the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints. Listen, when Jesus Christ comes back and sets up his throne, if you read Daniel chapter 12, there's a period of time. I forget what it is. You can look it up later. If you do the math in Daniel chapter 12, it's 35 days or 45 days. I can't remember. From once Jesus sits on his throne to the beginning of the millennium, the reign of Christ. Remember, Jesus has to sit on the throne in Jerusalem, or else he's not the Messiah. He has to sit on the throne in Jerusalem.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, giving us a snapshot of the Messiah in the last days. It's a study that takes a look at John chapter 11 and verses 45 to 57. It's called Jesus is the Resurrection and the Life. It's actually been a study series we've been looking at here on Real Radio, and if you'd like to listen to this series in its entirety, you can visit us at www.realradioactive.org. And in fact, you can be a subscriber to our podcast of Real Radio at no charge. Again, that's www.realradioactive.org. Now, if you do prefer calling us, again, our phone number is area code 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Now, remember that Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue because of your continued support. So prayerfully consider how much you can contribute, either as a one-time gift or as a continuing partner. Here's our address: Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.